Hi, I'm Jack from Socrates, and I'm at the radio station with my sister Katie. You're listening to WGXC Aqua. Have a nice day!
Wave Farms Art Park is now open on Saturdays. Drop in for unannounced guided tours on Saturdays from noon to 6 p.m. or book a tour in advance on other days. Wave Farms' 29-acre campus in Acre is the home of the Art Park with 13 installations in the Study Center, WGXC Acre Studio, the Wave Farms International Artist Residency Program. Visitors on Saturdays receive a guided tour of the campus. Admission is free and tours typically last 60 to 90 minutes. Again, on Saturdays, Wave Farms Art Park is open for drop-in visits anytime from noon to 6 p.m. from June through October. Stop by Wave Farm on Saturdays from noon to 6 p.m.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The Hudson Valley Picture Show traveling series brings cinema to locations around the region. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the Community Theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Alexander Adam of Athens, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And this morning we will hear from Times Union reporter Roger Hannikin-Gilson, his first appearance on WGXC and his new segment on Thursday mornings, updating listeners on the stories he is covering. We'll also hear from Irma Johnson discussing medical relief for Ukraine, and we'll hear from artist Lisa Schoenberg about her show, The Insects Are Present. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Airwaves controlled. Blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe and Akron. You've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. This morning, we will hear from Mishanda Franklin, the new Hudson Police Chief, talking with WGXC's Kim Singletary and Randy Martin. I will also speak with Hudson artist Ifateo Cobbins about her artwork that was vandalized recently. Philip Grant will bring us up to date with the local news. Public News Service has national headlines, and the Catskill Maker Syndicate has the local better weather this morning. On the WGXC Morning Show, stay tuned. It all starts with the local news.
Network, network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Thursday, October 19th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Jamal Cutler reports for Columbia Green Media that Taconic Hills High School student Landon DeLeese died and fellow student Richard Jennings III was injured in a car crash on October 18th on Hunt Road. DeLeese was driving a 2009 Chevrolet Cobalt when it hit a tree. Lynette Brunger, the Taconic Hills school supervisor, said, quote, "We are saddened to report that one student passed away and the other has been airlifted to the hospital. Taconic Hills Central School District will mobilize its crisis response team tomorrow to initiate our crisis plan to support our students and staff at school throughout the week. We encourage families to send their children to school so we can support them through this difficult time. All of us are still struggling to make sense of the tragedy and the sudden loss of one of our students. Please know that the Taconic Hills Central School District has an incredible support system and will be offering counseling for our students and staff members throughout the week. We also have counselors from Questar 3 BOSIS available to assist us," unquote. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com. Courtney Ward reports for News 10 that while many New York politicians have not gotten anything accomplished to battle the affordable housing crisis, Massachusetts Governor Mari Healy was in Pittsfield on October 18th announcing a new bill she signed that will create 40,000 new homes. New York Governor Kathy Hochul had a proposal to build 800,000 new housing units over the next decade, but the legislature did not pass that last spring. Healy in Pittsfield said, quote, "As you know, housing costs are maybe our greatest challenge in the state. It's an issue no matter where I go, certainly here in northern Berkshire County, but honestly across the entire state," unquote. Homeowners in Massachusetts will also save money with a rental deduction and low-income housing tax credit in the new bill. Read more about the story at News 10. Kenneth C. Crowe II reports for the Times Union that the Republican-controlled Rensselaer County Legislature holds a special meeting October 19th to confirm Henry Zwack, a retired state justice and former county executive, as Republican Elections Commissioner. Recently, Jason T. Schofield resigned from the position before he pleaded guilty in January to federal voter fraud charges, and Corrine Sheldon is leaving as acting commissioner effective October 31st as a grand jury investigates her handling of ballots. Zwack was acquitted in 2001 of felony charges in a no-show job scandal, and in 2002 he was acquitted of 34 charges, 27 misdemeanors and 7 felony counts, in an alleged patronage job for votes trade case. County Republican Chair Chuck Peters said, quote, "Henry Zwack has an outstanding record of public service to Rensselaer County and New York State and brings considerable experience and ability to this important position. We look forward to Henry serving as Republican Elections Commissioner and helping guide the Board of Education through the upcoming elections and beyond," unquote. Zwack will take over in the middle of election as voting begins October 28th this year and concludes on November 7th. Read more about this story in the Times Union and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, October 19th. Local early morning temperatures range from 39 degrees in Steventown to 45 in Tannersville. Regional average soil temperature is 56 degrees. and the foliage reports are out. This season does seem to be accelerated. Personal observations put the peak at halfway down the Catskill Falls route on 23A. The mountains are therefore past peak, and according to I Love New York, peak is hitting in Columbia County. Hudson has 75% changeover, and to the south, everything is at or near the halfway point. Today, foggy conditions this morning should clear out by 10 a.m. We see a high of 65 at 4 p.m. happening under another cloudy sky. 55 degrees overnight takes us into a wet-looking Friday with a high of 61. And rain falling all day long and continuing overnight as temperatures dip to 55 degrees. Saturday still looks wet, mostly in the morning, and will have a high of 61. Sunday, high of only 51 and some moisture appears to linger. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 12:54 a.m., high tide at 6:12 a.m., low tide again at 12:35 p.m., then high tide, once again at 6:31 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 57 degrees and the tide strength will be average. Sunset today will be at 5:56 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:08 a.m. Looking way up, we see a geomagnetic storm watch is on for today and tonight, as an Hadouken is expected to swing through the planetary neighborhood. Plasma winds will be slow at 384 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair below 8 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 54, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Here's 2023 music from the band Black Duck. It's called Of the Lit Backyards. Thank you.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
Arab, Jew, Muslim, Christian, everyone. You can't give up what makes you who you are.
President Joe Biden warns Israelis not to be consumed by rage following the deadly Hamas attacks. Speaking in Tel Aviv, the president said the U.S. was enraged by 9/11 but made mistakes seeking revenge. Biden announced Israel will allow humanitarian aid to enter Gaza from Egypt. He also said the other team was likely responsible for a Gaza hospital blast that killed hundreds, sparked mass protests, and forced him to cancel a summit in Jordan. Fighting increased along Israel's northern border with Lebanon, and the U.S. military said it thwarted an attack on American forces in Iraq. Biden's nominee for ambassador to Israel, former Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew, told senators he'd ensure Israel has what it needs to defend itself.
There is no greater mission than to be asked to strengthen the ties between the United States and Israel, to work toward peace in a region that has known so much war and destruction.
Several Republicans are voicing concern over Lew's role in helping to shape the lapsed Iran nuclear agreement. Peace protesters, including American Jews, shouting "not in our name," disrupted Lew's hearing three times before being removed. Capitol Police separately arrested other protesters who were demanding a ceasefire. Hard right Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio failed to win the House speakership for a second time, in fact, losing the vote by a larger margin. He says he remains determined since most alternatives would need Democratic support.
No one in our conference wants to see any type of coalition government with Democrats. So we're going to keep working and we're going to get to the votes.
Some Republicans say interim Speaker Patrick McHenry of North Carolina should temporarily be able to bring bills to the floor. That's so the House can move forward on aid for Israel and deal with a potential government shutdown next month. Some Republican presidential hopefuls are using the Israeli-Palestinian conflict to call for tighter security at the U.S.-Mexico border. Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley says the U.S. shouldn't wait for another 9/11.
I have been terribly worried about the fact that Iran has said the easiest way to get into America is through the southern border. We have an open border.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says too many military-age men are entering the U.S.
Israel probably has the strongest border security in the world, and yet this happened to them.
Former President Donald Trump says without evidence that Hamas militants are pouring over the border. A social media influencer just got 7 months in prison for spreading lies aimed at suppressing Democratic turnout in 2016. Prosecutors say Douglas Mackey, who posted under the alias Ricky Vaughn, tried to use disinformation to prevent people of color and women from voting. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A new report chronicles a brain drain of experienced professional election officials who, after dealing for months on end with false election fraud claims, intimidation, and burdensome new election integrity rules, have had enough. Pro-Democracy Group Issue 1 analyzed Western state data and news reports and found that 98% of Arizona voters will vote in precincts with new election officials since 2020, and that 12 of 15 counties have new officials. Colorado lost a combined 314 years of experience when election officials in 24 of 64 counties stepped down. Election officials cite an increasing workload, threats, and a frustration with activists. An Arizona County election official told Women's News site the 19th, "The reality is there are a lot of people who don't want to know the truth. They've continued for almost 2 years with the emails, going to public meetings, and heckling from the audience." In an interview with Issue 1, Nevada Secretary of State Francisco Aguilar said, "Nevada has lost more than half of our top county election officials since the 2020 election, and many more staff within election offices across the state. This has led to a critical loss of institutional knowledge and staffing shortages ahead of the 2024 presidential election." We have Issue 1's full report linked from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
And I'm now joined by Ifeteo Cobbins. Did I pronounce your name right?
Yes.
And you are a Hudson-based artist and poet?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Sorry.
That's okay. You had or still have a mural up. Where is your mural located?
My mural is located in, it's called Prison Alley. On Fifth and Fifth Street Prison Alley. It's behind the Leaders, and it's a 300-panel, 6x6 canvas of all my different art from myself, all from me, all from my inspiration of my, from my soul. So
does it have a name?
Yes, the piece does have a name. It's called Cellular Beats.
Cellular yes. Beats, and so it's a bunch of 6x6 panels.
Yeah, canvases. Yeah,
canvases.
Yeah.
And what are on the different canvases?
There's very different variations of my mind. So it's like a lot of them is like optical illusion art. A lot of them is like basically abstract, and and I have my poems on some of them, like excerpts of my poems, and flowers, because I like flowers. Flowers are always in bloom, no matter where a crisis may be, they're always in bloom. And also I have my ladies that I draw, which represent power and strength and willing to take on the world, whatever it may be. Because we're women, and women take on the world no matter what, and that's also what's on the wall also.
And how long has the mural been up?
The mural's been up about 4 months, 4 or 5 months, and it took me like 3 months to do the mural, and it was just two of us. Well, I did the paintings, and artist Guy Neary, he helped me post them up on the wall.
And what does the mural mean to you, or what do you hope that people get out of it if they see it?
Oh, I want them to get whatever they feel. All I know is there's nothing negative that you could get from it. If you do, that's something that you gotta deal with. That's your personal feeling, but it should bring happiness, wonder, curiosity. Just to play with your imagination, because your imagination is vast, and some people limit their imagination. And my mural is where you could express yourself. You could see, like, you could just go far off and beyond. And that's what I want everybody to get, because everybody's going to get something different, because everybody's going to see something different, obviously. If they see the same thing, that's good. That means that we all could come together in one common bond and agree with things, but we all have different views of what we see. So you're going to get a whole bunch of thought processes going through your head, but they're all going to be good. I hope they're good, because when I look at my mural, I get a good feeling.
Well, I guess at least one of them was bad, because at least one person had a I don't know if they had a reaction to your artwork or to you or what it was, but they did something to your work.
Yes, they did, and I'm very, very upset. And it's like they took a piece of my soul and ripped it out. And because that's my mural, and I care about my art, and I put all my soul, 100,000%, 10% or more, in my art, and have it somebody just, for no reason at all, just to fill with hate and just ruin my peace. And I'm really upset. And it's not all because it's my work, but also because of vandalism. You're not supposed to ruin somebody's work that they put up and gave their whole life and soul to, and ruin it. You're not supposed to vandalize nobody's art. And I don't go around vandalizing your art or whatever that you may do, or tearing your precious piece apart. But you want to come and tear mine apart. And I want to know why. Where's the reason? Why? Where is the hate come from that you tore my artwork down? And I never did nothing to this dude. I never did nothing negative. I always came kind, respectful, like you're supposed to be. And he just want to come up and have a hissy fit and just tear down my wall. and then urinate on the pieces. Oh my goodness, it's terrible, terrible, terrible. And I don't, he probably took some pieces. I'm not sure. But the pieces that we gathered, we tried to save, and we couldn't save them all. So that means I gotta do more panels to fix the mural, because I want the mural to be up so everybody could see me and introduce myself into the art world and have people know what I do, have people come see me, like to let them know what Hudson's about. This is what's going on in Hudson, you know? And it's just very, very, very disrespectful for you to vandalize my artwork, especially somebody that gives to the community and is out there for the community. And I give my whole 110%, whatever somebody asks me to do a poem, read, perform, I'm there. But what I get thrown back is like a bowling ball in my face, like, shoot, like, we don't care. That's how hard it hits, and it hurts. And I have to think about this every single day, because my art is my life. I go home, I do art, and then when I do art, I think about the mural, and I get angry, I get mad, and there's nothing I could do but complain, like I'm doing right now. You know, I can go hard body, but I'm not, because that wouldn't be me. That wouldn't be the right thing to do.
So you're going to try to restore the mural?
Yes, I'm going to try to restore the mural. And I'm working on it right now at the Box Studio and at my house. And it's going to take a while. It's going to take a real while. Because some of them that he ruined, I have to do all over again. And I don't want to hang up no urinated pieces back up that's dried in the urine. No, I have to do all, like, 40 pieces over again. And that's going to take a long time. But if I want to keep it up, I got to keep on doing what I'm doing. I don't want to just give up and stop saying somebody ruined my piece and my life is over. No, I'm going to keep on going at it like I'm supposed to and like how I want to. And that's what it is.
Yeah, it's not always easy being an artist, I guess, huh?
No, it isn't. It's not easy being an artist, but all artists want is the respect of their inner being coming out of them. They're releasing their soul to show you what they see and how they view the world, or whatever. And nobody should have the right to go up and just vandalize your piece, your artwork. That's you. That's a picture, like, from your soul, you know? And you're drawing what your soul feels from your humanity. And it hurts. It's like I got smashed, like, just... Like, you just cast, like, you just said, F me and whatever. And minding you, there's no reason. And the only thing I could get is hate. And mind you, because I saw the dude, and I talked to him, I told him, I was like, I got an art piece up, I did a mural, and because I know he likes art and antiques, he talks about art and stuff. This is before I knew he was a behind, a fool. And now after this, he go up and look at my art, and then he wanna tear it down and urinate it. What the F? Excuse my language, but what the heck? What is that? That would really piss you off. And it pisses me off right now while I'm talking about it. But like I said again, I can't do nothing but complain.
And I guess you're going to try to restore the piece. Maybe it'll actually turn out better this way.
I think so, because there'll be, because some of the, all the pieces aren't off, but he took 40 down. So the 40 that I will replace is definitely going to be something different, because this is the effect of how I feel after the fact that he ruined my artwork, and I'm going to have new ones up, and they're going to be a different feeling versus the ones that are already up there. So it's like he took out the middle part, like he took out the hole, like he took out my heart. And now I gotta patch it all up together and into a new beat, you know? So it's gonna be different. It will be different, but I still have the same love and respect as I have in me naturally. But it'll still have like some control, like, no, don't let the world take you away, you know? Don't let the world, the effects of the negativity take you away. Still be in your zone, in your soul, in your spirit. That's where I want to be and stay. I don't want to go off the loop and flying everywhere over the going haywire over something that I can't really control. So only way I control myself is through my art, and so that's what I'm going to do.
All right. Well, if you want to see the mural, you said it's on down Prison Alley by 5th, behind Warren, behind Nolita's.
Yes, behind Nolita's, yes. Yes, it's behind Nolita's. And it's a nice mural, and there's also you can walk up Warren Street. And between the church and Nolita's, there's a pathway, and it's called Hudson Alley, Hudson Art Alley. And the guy, his name is Guy Neary, and this other gentleman I call Old School, and they put together an art alley where you could sit and look at the art that's on the wall. They have different artists that did artwork on the walls, and it's beautiful. You can sit at nighttime, and the lights will come out once the sun goes down, the LED lights. It's nice and kind of romantic if you want to have a sit down with a partner or a friend to just chill out, you know, on a nice day, fall evening. And and as you go in the back, you turn to the right, there's my mural on the wall. My mural is right there. You can just walk down the alley. Which everywhere you go, you're going to see my mural if you go by that alley. And I think that's all I have to say about.
Come on, 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 come on
Baba coming down, and the Mandingo Band with Sarajugu from their new record. Sanbanbella is the new record. And they are coming to this area not one, not two, not three, but four times next week. They'll be at the Half Moon in Hudson. They'll be at Tubby's in Kingston. They'll be at the Falcon in Marlborough. And they'll be at the Village of Kinderhook Town Hall. I think that's where the last show is. All kinds of events are on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for you to attend in person or virtually, some both. Go to WGXC.org. Click on the community calendar to find out all sorts of things to do in the area, like Wednesday, October 18th, tonight at Catskill Town Hall at 6:30 p.m., they hold their monthly meeting, and that's online or in person. WGXC has a live web stream of the event. Go to WGXC.org, click on the listen button after 6:30 p.m. and the web stream will appear. It's also on the town of CatskillNY.gov website. Thursday, October 19th, the Hudson Thursday Market is every week at the public square from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, October 20th, You Don't Know the Lonely One is at the Ankrum Opera House. That's running from October 20th through October 29th. Seven performances from a bunch of acclaimed theater artists, including David Kale, at the Ankrum Opera House. Saturday, October 21st, the Hudson Area Library holds a community care clinic from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They'll have herbal medicines, Narcan, fentanyl test strips, and all kinds of other information and more about your health. Catskill Saturday Ukulele Jam is every Saturday from 1:30 to 3 p.m. at the Catskill United Methodist Church. Hudson Area Library also is hosting The Magic of Rooting on Saturday, October 21st, from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. with Lucille Berg-Gringen, teaching about the gardening practices of the Mennonomi and the Mohican nations. Saturday, October 21st, at No Fun in Troy, Constant Smiles, they're on tour and performing there, as with Capital Region-based band Sky Furrows and PG6 from Copake. It's at No Fun in Troy, 7 p.m. Saturday, October 21st. The Jayhawks perform at The Egg in Albany, Saturday, October 21st. Chris Forsythe's Evolution Band and the Blues Ambush are at Tubby's in Kingston, Saturday, October 21st at 8 p.m. And then next week, as we were saying before, Bala Commandant and the Mandingo Band perform four times in the area. Wednesday, October 25th at the Half Moon in Hudson. That's at 7 p.m. Thursday, October 26th, 7:30 p.m. at the Falcon in Marlborough. And also that day, Lightning Bolt is at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock. Baba Commandant and the Mandingo Band are then at Tubby's in Kingston on Friday, October 27th at 7 p.m. And finally, Baba Commandant and the Mandingo Band are performing at the Van Buren Hall in Kinderhook Town Hall, 6 p.m., Saturday, October 28th. Four shows from Baba Commandant and the Mandingo Band coming from Burkina Faso to the Hudson Valley next week. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
We are delighted to have with us the first, I'd be corrected if I'm wrong, I think she's the first woman police chief that we have had in the city of Hudson. And she's not the first Black African American, but she is the first woman. And that's another thing I want to give snaps and claps about. We got a lot of firsts in women in leadership positions and roles in the city of Hudson. And that's something I'm just excited about and so glad and happy happy, glad that we have this platform we can present and introduce to some and present to others some dynamic women in our community.
Indeed.
Who have earned their wings to fly to higher heights. Our own police chief, Miss Police Chief Moshonda Franklin, is in the house. Snaps and claps. Amen. Do we have any horns and whistles?
Indeed. We don't have horns, but we have something. But congratulations, first of all. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I'm doing well. It's an adjustment, but I'm excited. I'm excited for it and excited to be here.
Now
we're excited to have you as well. And also, I also want to say that you are a mom and a wife. Come on here now. Snaps and claps, you know. So how's the family? How's the littlest one, the newest addition? How they doing?
We're doing well. I think we're adjusting well. She's 4.5 months now and such a blessing. And I'm just so thrilled to have her be able to be a part of our lives right now. And my transition from being a lieutenant and now being the head, right? The chief of this department, and looking forward to whatever changes that I can make positively in this community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And before we go further, I did not any opportunity. I kind of jumped the gun and said a little something, but I want to give you opportunity to give your 60-second self-introduction to our listening audience. What would you like people to know about who Moshonda Franklin is?
Oh, goodness. Put me on the spot here. So let's see. Born and raised in Hudson, New York. Hudson is my home. It is where I sow my roots, and my family has sown its roots. Many people are familiar with my grandmother, Mary Ellen Henderson, who's been a pillar of this community for years. She worked in the school district, volunteered at the library. I think what's really important to me is being able to give back in a different way in my role here at the police department for this community and my home. And I'm just so proud of being born and raised here and being able to be a part of that.
Wow. You know what? I just learned something. I didn't know that Ellen Henderson was your grandmama.
Yes, ma'am.
Love her. Lord have mercy. The beginning of this century, we spent a lot of time beating down doors and doing what we was doing to make some things better. Oh, wonderful. I did not know that. Amazing. All right. So praise God for you and the fruit of that tree. So we are here today because another wonderful is coming up in the city of Hudson. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about it. Yes.
Okay.
Give some background to the concept of it, what we're doing here, and then tell us what's going to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've had this kind of in my head about how we can build more positive police and community relationships. And National Night Out is an annual community building campaign that promotes police community partnerships and neighborhood camaraderie. Excuse me. The goal is to strengthen the bond between law enforcement and the communities that we serve. And it is a national campaign. And generally, it is held in the first Tuesday of August. However, with schedules and everything that's being busy, we pushed it out to October this month. So it'll be this Saturday from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And we have partnered with the Spark of Hudson, Operation Unite, to provide, a community event for the city of Hudson and surrounding areas, anyone who wants to be a part of that. And again, the goal is to enhance community engagement and safety and bring us together for this. We also have the New York State Police joining us, the Hope We have reached out to Faith in Blue to be a part of it. The Columbia County Sheriff's Office under Sheriff Jackie Salvatore will be there. And I'm just really excited for this event, for the first annual event. And my hopes is that each year we can make it bigger and get more people involved.
You know, I like the fact that you and the department are doing this as a very intentional act of engaging with the community in a social activity to kind of break down some of those walls and some of those barriers. Tell me why this was important to you as like one of your first acts.
The community, like community relationships is big to me. Like I said before, I was born and raised in Hudson. Mm-hmm. And so to me, being part of the community in a different light, I played sports when I was in school. You know, one of my favorite pastimes growing up was going to the high rise and playing basketball. And so I think in order to break down those barriers, we need to have interactions with the community outside of just our regular work, right? Because sometimes police tend to be called to incidents that are bad. Not always, but tend to be negative. And my goal, one of my goals as chief is to kind of turn that around, that misconception that just because the police are around that there's something bad happening. And I want to try to change that thought process for more people.
Now there's a lot of go ahead, Kim. I'll ask a follow up.
Okay. So let's talk about what the day is going to look like. On Saturday, you say it's from 4 to 7?
4 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the waterfront.
Yes. All right. So for people who are not really familiar with the waterfront in Hudson, where is that located?
It's South Front Street. So if you go past Amtrak, there's the railroad tracks to the right past the train station, and you go straight, and then there will be the park right there.
Okay. And so for somebody who's like, sounds kind of interesting, who is the audience that you're looking to attract? What's the age demographic? And when I come, what can I expect to see? What is the experience I can expect?
So we're going to have a car seat check. We'll have pumpkins for painting for the kids. We're supposed to have a cotton candy machine. And the goal where we're hoping that we have food, we're hoping, fingers crossed, that, the weather holds up because we will have a tent. So majority of the activities will be under the tent.
Okay.
Cleveland Samuel's supposed to be there to cook some burgers and food. There'll be some games. So we want to engage with the community. All ages can come. Right. Everyone can come participate or just hang out, have some community conversations. We want to use it as a platform for children to have fun and learn and for us to promote some sense of togetherness in the community with everyone.
You know, and it's wonderful that you yourself, you're part of the community. You grew up here. And so it's not like a stranger coming in and leading the organization. You're able to see it and the people know you. What are some of your goals? I mean, I know that the event is extremely important, but this is my first time I got to talk to you on the air. So, what are some of your goals?
Personally or within the department?
Well, you can both, because I know there's some things I've learned about you that I didn't know that I'm going to ask. So first from the department and then about you.
I think one of what's really important to me is, again, trying to shift that mentality and those misconceptions about police. Right. And that starts within, and trying to shift the attitude within the department to be more engaged in the community and see how important events like these actually are to shifting that mindset. And then increasing training with a lot of different things. And again, I think my biggest priority is to try to build that relationship with the police department and the community.